I know. Turn around and look at me, would you? As you were singing that song, the Lord said, don't forget David was not just a minstrel, he was a giant killer. And how was he a giant killer? The Spirit of God would come upon him, the power of the Holy Spirit would come on him, and he'd kill the lion and the bear. But he was first a worshiper of God. And just as you have struggled, can you see the difference? Can you see the difference? It's just really what the Spirit's been saying to us for several weeks now. Just doing stuff. You would be better to do nothing than to just do stuff, because when you just do stuff, you get in the flesh. But whenever you worship, you determine, I'm going to worship God. Then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, and then he enables you, and he pulls the gift of God out of you. No struggle, no if you got any songs, no this, no that. Either we have it or we don't. I don't really care at this point. We're not traditional church. This is not a traditional church service. We want the Holy Spirit to move. We want whatever he gives. It come from him, not that, well, you know, somebody, we heard somebody else say, or, well, that sounds like a good topic, or maybe that sounds like a good song, it's kind of where we're at. No, that's not what it's about. It's about the Spirit of God coming on you and showing you. You don't really have to put any effort except that you're a worshiper of God, seeking first the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what really ministry that you have. That's the way the gift will flow. Right? So remember that as we go forward, because the Lord is trying to glean. I had a personal word I could have brought in here and read, because it was about not, in other words, getting all the works of the flesh out of you. Everything you've ever learned, especially from church, that you, what is church to you? To me, church is to whatever he says to me, do it. That's church to me. Yeah, I know we gather together in his name and all of that. But really, to be about the kingdom, that is to be led by the Spirit wherever he leads you, and then doing whatever he tells you to do. Isn't that what the body of Christ is really about? It's not that we go once or twice a week, we get our little fix, and then we go and we do our own thing, and then we have a crisis we call the pastor of the prayer chain. That's not the way church is supposed to be. We are a supernatural people. And the living God lives on the inside of us, and he has the answer to everything we need. If you'll just stay long enough, they that wait upon the Lord, it says, they that wait upon the Lord. Well, if you don't have anything, don't do anything. It can't put it any simpler than that. Right? And if it was so important to think about this, say stuff you've been dealing with for years. If it was so important, don't you think the Lord would have spoke to you about it? If there was something you needed to do, that he would tell you? See, this is what I found. More than not, when the Lord wants us to do something, it just comes right, we say out of the blue, but no, it comes up in here. He'll say, go do that. Oh, Lord, we should worship him because how great he is, not because we want a thing or we need wisdom or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you have that other in place. Trying to get the God to do something. Just trying to get God to do something. Well, I'm telling you something. You don't want to do that. That's a sure way to be deceived and to get off of your anointing and into some other something, another, going a direction you don't want to go. Why? Because he's made us to be a carefree people, that we depend on him and he carries the care. I don't care what it is. He has a plan. He knows what to do. And if you'll rest in him and you'll just out of your breath all the time, Lord, I just thank you. You just take care of everything wonderful. You're just so great. You're just so faithful. Lord, I sure love you. I'm just so thankful for you. I think maybe that would be the type of atmosphere that God would manifest in, right? Make a throne upon. Just live in the attitude of gratitude so that whatever, He'll show us things to come if we need to do something. It's just like with all the stuff that's going around, people are running around like Chicken Little, stockpiling their stuff. You know what? They're going to be really upset when they come and they find out, we didn't need any of this stuff, did we? We spent all this money on generators and we did all this stuff and stockpiled all this Patriot supply. Nothing against Patriot supply, but it's like, you know, it lasts 25 years. I mean, were we to take a thought up to 25 years? No, we're not even supposed to take a thought about tomorrow. But learning to live in the Spirit, walk in the giftings God has put in you, it's not by your own effort anymore. That when I sit down to teach, I'm just like I'm a blank slate. And the Lord will give me a scripture, or He'll give me a thought about something, and then I'll study it out. But if I don't have anything, I'm going, Lord, what do You want? What do You want me to do? It's no different from me than you in your different giftings. That's how we operate. It's by the Spirit. None of this is flesh. I mean, yeah, you have to put study to it and works to it, but as far as that goes. But it starts with Him. Isn't this His show? Aren't we His body? If He, the head, has to do it by the Spirit, wouldn't the body do it too? Does it make sense? All right. But remember, David, he wasn't just a minstrel. He was a giant killer. How come he was a giant killer? Because he was a minstrel before the Lord. He'd get out there and sing. That's why Saul called upon him, because Saul was being visited by a demonic entity because he was outside of God's will. He was no longer following God, and so he'd call David in to play his harp and minister because it would make the demon spirit go away. In other words, bring down a stronghold. In his case, temporarily, because he didn't ever repent, he never got back in line. There's nothing powerful about you just doing your thing because that's what you know to do and that's what you've done. There's nothing powerful about that. In fact, that's a complete failure, don't you know? Only thing that matters is God's plan and His way of doing it. All right. This morning I'm going to teach, this is 10:29-23. It's called Living in the Now Space. First scripture is going to be Hebrews 11:1.
Said, walk in the Spirit, live in the now.
That's exactly what we're going to talk about.
Cool.
All right, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What I want you to see there is now faith. You don't need faith for the future. You need faith for now. What does it mean to live in the now space? It means that you don't look beyond this day. How much time do we waste by just worrying about stuff in the future? Let me read a scripture. This is still, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to turn there. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So God has a good end for you. And he doesn't want us to fret any day that we live, any day. And whenever we have to do things, we do it and keep it in the day. I know that's a different concept. Most people worry about the future. Why do you think we have insurance and investments and all of these things? It's because they're trying to stockpile and lay up for themselves and take care of themselves, like the man that built the barns. And he said, I got much goods laid up. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, he's going to retire. But it says, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. And who's going to get all that stuff you stockpiled? You know, it's okay if the Lord says to do that. But he put it to me like this. I started buying up silver, but what he said to do is take, in other words, take your monopoly money and exchange it for a piece of silver. You still got the same amount of money, but your silver's worth something. That monopoly money won't be worth anything. It's a preserver of your wealth. So, you know, you've got to be led by the Spirit concerning these things, just like how we started off, by the Spirit. But to live in the now is to say, okay, Lord, I trust you for this day, that whatever comes my way, that your grace is sufficient for me to take care of it, or my faith is strong enough that I can speak or do whatever I need to do it. Because people that live in the future don't live. You're not living if that's where you're living. You have not been granted that. You've been granted this. That's it now. That's as bad as living in the past. That's a door you need to close. I know concerning Brian. I remember the Lord would say to me, don't go down those doors. You should have done this or you should have done that. He said, think about something about him that made you laugh. And when you think about him, think about that. And you know what? It stopped the devil from taking me down those roads that I didn't need to go. We're not to live in the past. And we're not to live in the future. We're to live now. Now, faith is. And then tomorrow, now. It will be now. Remember the movie Spaceballs? When are we at now? Yeah. I mean, really, most people, they live their lives. This whole society is about taking care for yourself and stockpiling and doing all kinds of things out here in the world to secure your future. Just think about it. Well, you better take out this whatever, or, you know, make sure you're covered. You don't think God can do it? This is the way our whole system has become. And now it's like a monkey on everyone's back. All right, now faith is. Go to Mark 11. I think I understand why Jesus cursed the fig tree. I've never considered it this way, but I'm going to bring it to you and see what you think. Mark 11:11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. When he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. When I read this, this is what I had. He cursed the fig tree because that's the future. It had no fruit. The time wasn't yet. He cursed it because he was showing his disciples how you live now. Think about that. You know, I just thought, well, you know, Lord, I would have never gotten that out of that scripture to think that he cursed it because it wasn't in the now space. Right? I guess he could have spoke to it and it could have budded and fruited out right there in front of him. It's about now. It's not about when the time of fruit comes, which is what, months ahead, but about now. All right. Now think about what I said about the now space. This is how Jesus walked. What I see in this is that we are not going to look to the future for our needs to be met, but we're going to live today and not give a thought about the future. That kind of thinking process is not for faith people. Faith will not operate with maybe or in the future. It only operates now, like the movie Spaceballs when the guy said, we're at now. All right, and I'll show you this. And this is a passage of scripture I've read y'all so many times. Sometimes I'm even embarrassed to read it again, but we're going to read it again because the Lord thinks they hadn't got it yet. This is, what do you think it is? Yeah, that's right. See, I told you. Matthew 6. And another part in that movie where he says, they've learned that they can show the movie before it ever comes out. You know, that's now. All right, 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So here is 25 on to 34 is about the two masters. They identify each other, or these words identify the two masters. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. You know, not my retirement, not my investments, not my, what am I going to live? What am I going to do? What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for you your body, what ye shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? In other words, if he takes care of the birds every single day, there's a lot of birds around here, every single day. No, they go to bed at night, go roost wherever they roost, and then they come out the next morning, they're chirping and they're doing their same old thing every day. They got more sense than people because they know God's going to provide for them. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Maybe God would work more in our lives if we would live this way. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now I'm telling you something right here. If you're looking to get it yourself, the grace is not going to be on you and it's going to be hard. That'd be a good gauge for you. If it's hard, then you're not partaking of the grace. You're letting my future or my whatever take space, taking thought about things that you don't even need to take thought. And you know what? The devil is a liar. And he is master at bringing things to you to keep you in a tizzy all the time and all tore up all the time where you just do not enjoy your life at all, right? And a lot of the things that he tries to throw in our face to get us to think about and worry about and fret about, taking thought for tomorrow, probably won't even ever happen. Like I said, he don't tell the truth. He can't tell the truth. But you know what we can do now? We can say what we want. We'll say, no, this is the outcome I will have. And I don't mean that we have to make 150 confessions every day and do, you know, anything other than just be the natural you that you are. You're a speaking spirit. You'll go about speaking about everything. Have you ever noticed that? You have something to say about everything. Why not turn that for your advantage, this turning disadvantage into advantage? Well, no, we got to have a rhema. Well, we do in some cases, yes. But in this, we're made that way. It just naturally comes. Because has there things happened in your life because of things you've spoken and it wasn't no rhema? Absolutely. Yes, we need rhema words from God. But as far as just going about your daily life and you see something you don't like, instead of saying, well, they're a sorry so-and-so and they need to move out of town or whatever, you could say, this is what this will be. It's pretty simple. Everybody has an opinion about what they like or what they'd like to see or whatever. Instead of griping about it, going and voting against it, and all this stupidity, just say, well, this will be what it is. Isn't that what Jesus said? Just go to the other side. Wasn't it Charles Capps? He remembered this lady. Every time she'd travel, thank you, Lord, we weren't going to be hit by 18-wheeler. Thank you, Lord, we ain't going to. He said, you know what? If she would quit saying that, the devil wouldn't think of half of it. She's arming the enemy, you know, aiding and abetting the enemy. Why not just say, we shall pass over safely to our location in Jesus' name? We make everything too complicated. We make what is supernatural. We are the Christian is supernatural, like the natural man is natural. We are supernatural, and we flow that way. And it's not something we have to learn to do. It's something that happens naturally. Now, we've had a lot of teaching that helped, that confused us enough to where we messed us all up. But if we will... we will just act like God made us in His likeness and His image. When He saw the earth the way it was, He began to speak. He took 6 days in speaking what He wanted. So when you see something, instead of getting all bent out of shape and starting that griping and complaining and, oh, they need to do this and that, just say, all right, new whatever over there be. It's going about your business, like Jesus and the fig tree. And then probably in a few months, you'll look over there and say, ha, there's that place I spoke into existence. I spoke Tocquevillian back here. I should have spoke in excellent chefs to prepare their food. But anyway, it's the truth. And how many times have you done that and not think anything about it? Just simple things, just came out naturally, you just did it. You didn't fret and go home after pray 10 hours and study for hours to have something that's heard that, oh, I better not say anything unless to say the wrong thing. No, we are meant to speak. We are speaking spirits. And the Lord knows we have to live our life. Rhemas are great, and I'd like to have them for everything. But I don't know that it's always necessary. In big things, you must, you know, yeah, you do need to know. You need to hear from God. But as far as just going about your daily life and just doing your normal things, stay in the now, stay in the faith side of things, saying, no, we won't have any of that here. This is what we want here. This is what will be here. Does that harm anybody or hurt anybody? And I tell you, it will come to pass. Because you've spoken the wrong stuff most of your life, and it came to pass, didn't it? We all have. And I'm thinking, why don't we see it on the right side? Because we've been programmed negatively. Yeah. All right. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or where, what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Instead of this, saying, well, today I'll just, you know, wherever I go, whatever I need, the Lord will supply. You walk in the store, there's something you needed to get, and it's on for half price. You have a lot more control over what happens to you than you think. Oh, God has a divine plan. Yes, He does. But He also lets us live. Jesus was hungry. He went over to the fig tree. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these. In other words, you know, He knows what you need Him for, you ask. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. In other words, you'll operate in faith, you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll do what you need to do tomorrow. Not stay up late today for tomorrow, fretting over it. For tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Evil. To take thought about tomorrow and worry and fret about things in the future is evil. That's what the devil wants you to do, so you don't enjoy your life. That little book by Joel Osteen, Your Best Life Now. That's what it was about. It was about being just positive about your outlook about everything. Being positive. Saying positive things. It's not rocket science. Or maybe it is. It's more important than rocket science. We can't go anywhere with rockets anyway. We're an enclosed system. All right. But if we needed to, we could. All right. What does taking thought do? It moves you from out of now in faith and into tomorrow in fear. How would you really act each day if you really believed that every problem you have is taken care of now? Your outlook would, with a good outlook, you have a good outcome. Right? There was a meme I saw, it was a couple of weeks ago, and I wrote it down. It said, fear showed up at the door, faith answered, and fear was no more. Yeah, isn't that good? To think thought about tomorrow, Jesus said, was evil. The evil here means badness, depravity, malignity, or trouble. You're barring trouble. He said, if trouble comes, deal with it today. Don't carry it over into tomorrow. Right. Today is the day to believe and act like you do. It's just as easy to say positive as it is negative. Have you ever noticed, you know, you maybe wake up and start having kind of a bad day. And your mind's going down a road that you don't want it to go down. And you reverse that and you just start thanking the Lord for what He's done for you and everything. And before you know it, you're out of that. It's like somebody's pulled you out of the pit. Put your feet on a rock. What the psalm says? It gets your thinking process back into the way God wants you thinking, with a good outcome, a good attitude, instead of that going down that slippery slope, the pit of despair. All right, Mark 11. Back to Mark 11. What I'm talking to you today about is speaking to your mountain, basically. When you see something that's trying to come your way and wreck up your day, you just say, no, don't think so. Bye. When stuff tries to come against you, that's what you need to do. Like I said, you don't have to have a rhema to do that. You're naturally made by God to do that. All right, Mark 11:20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Well, the real translation is have the faith of God, which we've been given the measure of faith, to act just like God acted. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. See, if we start doing this, we will not have anything to carry over. You know what I'm saying? God is just plain and simple. The day is the day, and that's the day. If you're in the now space, that's where faith works. That's where you operate till you go to sleep and it starts over. He don't want you carrying baggage, burdens. In fact, the place that you're in trial in right now is probably the Lord trying to work that out of you. And it's not usually in your strong areas. It's in your weak areas. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it, to build you up and get you strong in your weak areas? Because you're already strong in your strong areas, right? Like, you know, there's certain things that nobody could tempt you to do or act upon. But there's other areas you're not as strong in. So God is showing you how to make you strong in these areas that you think, I just can't make it, I just can't make it, oh, all this despair going on. And he's saying, yes, you can, yes, you can. Yeah, you can, yeah, you can. I can, I'm showing you. I'm taking you a step at a time. Don't fret, I have a complete plan. It's going to be good. The outcomes are going to be good. But trust me in between, right? We got to trust him, y'all. He's all we got. Sometimes I get to thinking about the people that let me down in my life. There are many. There's few that haven't done that. But I thought about Joseph and the road that God took Joseph down. It made him go from the prison to the palace. His brothers were horrible to him. But he didn't hold it against them because he knew God had sent him ahead to preserve life, to preserve the nation, their whole household at that time. God had a plan, and God worked it out of Joseph, and he came to an understanding of he was set apart. And God allowed these hard things in his life to train him to stand in the place of Pharaoh, in essence. We say we want to be everything God wants us to be, and he starts working on us. We're thinking, what in the world's going on? He started the process. You just submitted to it. Why did Jesus not look back? He lived in the now space. He knew whatever he said is going to happen. So he just said it, yeah, that over there. In the book, or the series, Narnia, the very first book, I believe it is, or maybe it's the second, Aslan, the lion, is walking through and he's singing. And he goes, birds in the trees, and you know, he's singing, and everything he sings is created right there. Really, it's just the story of creation, what God did. So you think, that's the way God's created us. Well, I want that over there. Get over there right now. You know, don't give it any thought. Just speak it going about your business. Well, I don't see it. I don't see it. So I'm just, live like, wreck your whole day or wreck your week or wreck your month or wreck your year. Just thinking about what you don't have. Well, a lot of times it's because you're so dadgum wishy-washy about it. You don't just say the good thing and just go about your business. No, you keep reflecting back and saying, I don't understand why God won't do this for me. You understand? The double-minded man. Either he's done it or he isn't. And for him to say in his word that he has, and he doesn't, it doesn't show up, that's not possible. What people don't understand, especially people that don't know how to believe God for anything, really, but just take sickness and disease. They think you go to the doctor, bam, you get a pill, or bam, they do a procedure. That's what they expect out of God. But what they don't understand is when you go to God, there's a seed planted, and that thing has to be cultivated. It will grow, and it will begin to manifest, but it may take a little time. They don't understand that. Now, they'll understand that crops in the field, but they won't understand it. That's how faith works. So they think it just has to be now, or you're a false prophet if you prayed for them, or whatever. Isn't that right? Isn't that kind of the way we think? No. Our continued, well, thank you, Lord. The day I spoke it, I believed it, and I thank you for it. There you are. You're watering that seed. You just keep on. Yes, it's getting bigger. It's growing. And then one day it just manifests. See, they'll understand that if you plant something in the garden, but then you try to talk about it in the spiritual sense, they just don't get it. No, I better go on to the doctor, you know. That face stuff, you know, it just don't work. Yeah, it does. It does. Because they've been operating it in their whole life just in the negative. Because that's God, how God has made us. We can't get away from it. We're faith people. Whether it's negative faith or positive faith, period. I just want to say, you've been working faith in your whole life. Unfortunately, it's just been in the negative. All right. You may think that your physical circumstances are the problem today, but I do not think that is accurate. I would say that your thinking processes are about your circumstances are the real problem. It's what you think about it. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Seems to be the hardest thing for some people to just shut up about it. If you can't say something positive, don't say anything at all. Because it's a detriment to your faith. Because it's not just you speaking, you're thinking it to speak it. All right? Okay. Speaking to the mountain and going on about your business requires no more of your thought process than the other. It's each one is taking a thought. It just depends, positive or negative, or positive or negative. All right. We are made in God's image and likeness to speak just like he spoke. All right, let's go over to Romans chapter 4 for a minute. I mean, we're sitting in a time in history that tomorrow Jesus could actually show up. And not talking to take everybody back and let this place go to hell. No, I mean to set up his reign here. We are so close to the end game. All right, Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. See, when the faith is working, the grace is there. I'm talking positive. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's how you water it. Thank you, Lord. I have a new so-and-so. Or I am healed, right? I'm recovered. I'm not just healed. I am made whole. I'm whole. There ain't nothing missing, nothing broken in me. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, 100 years old. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and been fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it. God has never let me down, has he, you? But you got to stay on his side of things. That's how you work with him. You can keep believing him until the seed comes into complete harvest. Okay. Obviously, even with all negative circumstances, they believed God, and it happened. Now, what would have happened if they turned around and started talking about how old they were and how they can't even get close to being anywhere to even conceive a baby? You know what I'm saying? What would have happened? They would have established that fact. That applies to anything. You know, with God, it says nothing is impossible. Nothing. So a 90-year-old woman having a baby, that's not impossible with God. There's not anything impossible with God. But you can make it impossible. The way you think, and the way you speak. Because that goes against God. You don't want to be going against God. That's the problem. Most people, they think, well, they laid hands on me, and all, it just manifests, and naturally, just like that. And then if it doesn't happen a day or two, they start, well, that preacher, they don't have nothing, you know, and all the blaming the preacher, blaming whoever. God don't ever answer my prayers, blah, 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 blah. And I see where they get it, because there's a lot of that garbage going around. People that believe that way and talk that way, they believe God uses medicine. Well, no, he don't, because he don't need it. Why would he use medicine? Just because he can't get you to use your faith, if that's the context that they're talking about. And maybe he will with a baby, someone that don't know. But the thing is, he's got the full supply of everything we will ever need. And we can attain it by faith. That's his way. All right, go over to Hebrews. Chapter 11. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Hebrews 11:8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Well, you know what? Most people, if they don't have a job and they don't have a house lined up and they don't have all this stuff, you know, they won't even step out till all that's done. That's the way the world operates. Oh, Abe, he just picked up his tent, packed up his stuff. Because when he traveled, they had like 200 or 300 servants. I mean, you know, it wasn't just Abraham. There's a whole company of people. That's a lot, just pull up stakes and just head off, and you don't even know where you're going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Well, he's fixing to see the fulfillment of that in this new millennia with the church, with the apostles and prophets in place, God ruling from his holy mountain. That's the city he was looking for. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She got over her little lapse of laughing when he told her he was going to give her a child. Sarah laughed. He said, "Why did you laugh?" "I didn't laugh." "Oh, yes, you did. I heard you." She got over it. Eventually, Jesus said this to the, and I've brought these scriptures quite a bit, the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day. The first one's Matthew chapter 15. And this outlines where the real problem is. Verse 7. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines of the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." Why? Because it's connected to your thinking. "Then Jesus came to his disciples and said unto them, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart." The heart there is your mind, your will, your emotions. And they defile the man. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." This is your production center. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." And I'll put something out there to you. All the things, the secret covenant and all these things were all these elites decided they were going to do all these things to try to poison us and do all these evil things to us. I don't think it's that they might not have done any of that. But if they can, through propaganda, convince you, if they, through propaganda, can convince you, your thought life thoroughly corrupted, you'll speak that and you'll manifest it in your body. That's what Jesus was saying here. They're corrupt doctrines of men. Yeah. The Lord began to speak to me here, right here, a word. Unbelief is still belief, just in the wrong thing. Men had discounted my word. They believe it to be just simple words on a page to be cast aside. But they're full of power for those who perceive it. Not one jot or tittle of my word will ever pass away. I made you like me so you would naturally act like me. As I have been speaking to you for a few weeks, that my word is like that pearl of great price. Once you get what I am saying to you, living in the now space, then you won't need anything else. My word means nothing to some because they only see it from a surface point of view. But to those that take me at my word and not lean to their own understanding will partake of my hidden treasure. There's no end to the revelation that is within each of my words. Reading is only the place to begin. I am the Word of God, and I am alive and full of power. My word can renew the mind. My word made the world and everything in it. For those that get beneath the surface, the impossible becomes possible. When you get it in your mouth, it will work the same for you. I said and I said and I said for 6 days, and then I sat down and rested. I would have you to enter my rest. Speak, sit down, and rest. Men discount my word because they are looking only at the surface. My diggers will uncover my secrets. I have hidden them on purpose. Only those that are after me in my ways will find them. My wisdom knows no end. So, you know, that's why Jesus taught them in parables. So that these wicked, they just think it's gobbledygook. But underneath those words are hidden treasure. All right. Ephesians chapter 3. The Holy Spirit's been leading us for a while now in learning to, and it started really with the temple, you know, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that our walk with God is an inside walk. It has nothing to do with external institutions. Like I said, it doesn't mean you don't have a place to meet in. It just means we are led by the Holy Spirit. And that's the way we operate. And that is the only way we operate. The only way we operate. Okay, Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. These aren't just a bunch of courses that we take to learn how to be a Christian. Or learn how to be a ministry gift. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. It doesn't matter what they do. They cannot take it. They cannot take away what God has given you. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. See, in you dwells the Godhead bodily. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Forever. This is the way we're going to live for all eternity. We won't have any hindering force. All right, the Lord continues here. Never get locked into the traditions of men, for they become the doctrines of men. These doctrines have limited me and my word. My word is man's entry into my kingdom and all that is in it. Those that merely look to the outward for their answers to solve their problems will be limited in what they receive. They don't get it. Flesh and blood cannot inherit, and the kingdom of God is inside of you. All right, let's keep going. Mark chapter 7. Starting with verse 1 there. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. Excuse me. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. Well, you don't do it the way we do it. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes, asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? You know, it might have them nanoparticles on it or something. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, it really grieves my heart when I come across people that really seem to have a pretty good take and love the Lord, but they push them alternative medicines like you just think you're going to scream because half of their show is that. I'm thinking, I don't get it. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do, like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered in many such like things ye do. When he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. It's like Paul with the snake. I mean, what have we been taught our whole lives? Well, these different insects and these snakes and all these are all poisonous and they'll do this to you and all this and Well, what happened with Paul? The kingdom of God overrode that. It's not in the kingdom of God. That's why nothing's going to harm or hurt in all this holy mountain. Those thinking processes are no longer there. They've been programmed into us our whole life. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. It's this propaganda that we have suffered. If any man has ears, let him hear. If any man hear, have ears, let him hear. Isn't that what the Spirit's saying today? And when he had entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot, not that it will not, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart. In other words, it doesn't go into the production center. They tell you, eat all this stuff and it produces cancers, does all this stuff. Not possible. Not according to the Word of God. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. Yeah, into that pit of acid. Think about it. First time I ever heard anything about this, Brother Hagin said, well, you know what? If you're in a dire strait, you can eat a skunk. You know what I mean? Just pray over it. Sanctify it. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, your thinking processes. Please get this today. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and all these things come from within and defile the man. That's your production center. That's faith in operation. Just in the evil. Even these depraved reptilian lizard people, whatever you want to call them, the serpent in the garden, whatever, they believe that. They'll say it over and over and over and over and over and over. That's all their propaganda campaigns. Over and 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 think they're going to get it. Well, they don't. They're not in the class we are. Which, anyway. We just don't know what we have, do we? If we really did, we would never allow anything to defile us. And that's letting thought processes get into your mind that cause you to speak things you do not want. That's defilement. All right, help us, Lord, today. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. The Lord continues here. Traditions of men bring divisions. Many are in strife in my body because of those traditions. Okay, Ephesians 2. Starting with verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. See, they go together. And were by nature the children of wrath even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In that elevated place. For ye by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, that is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Isn't that what God did on that first day, 6 days? Good works. Everything he saw, he said it was good. Wherefore remember, you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath both made one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. You want to talk about the true Israel? Here we are. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's fixing to happen. That's fixing to happen. The true Israel's being exposed. The Khazarian Mafia. They're being exposed for the fakers they are. And all this garbage and all this stuff is fixing to, the light's going to come on it. And God's going to bring in his new church. Right here. That's what I'm reading. Whom all the building fitly framed together goeth into a holy temple in the Lord. This is the resurrection of that temple in Israel. Right here. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. All that other stuff is just nothing but a bunch of dead works. God's not going to honor it. All right, the Lord continued here. They have strayed from my word. Traditions of men nullify the word of God. Those that have cast away my word have cast me away. I will judge them by the word that comes out of my mouth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way but this way to gain access to the Father. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When you speak, believe what you speak is done and act accordingly. I spoke to the fig tree, and it obeyed me. It will obey you also. I didn't look back to make sure. I rested and walked in my authority, that same authority I've given you through my name. Never let go of my word, for it is alive and full of power for those that will use it. All right, let's continue. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a child, I spake as a child and understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's all about your thoughts. And speaking those thoughts. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Just listen to me. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart, right here, heart, the feelings, the will, and the intellect. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything you face today has to do with your thinking processes. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. In other words, if you're looking forward, all the devil's distractions are not going to distract you. What? He's trying to get you to do this or this. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Wow. Powerful passage. All right. Heart, the feelings, the will, and the intellect. A few more scriptures. This is how we operate by faith. All right, turn over to Romans chapter 10. All right, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess that with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So, right here, it's what you say, right? I mean, you believe it in your heart. That's not your spirit, that's your mind. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, verse 17 of that. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I think we just need to say that we want what we want about everything. I think we would do well if we would say what we want about everything. Isn't that what we do anyway? I mean, kind of. You have lots to say and you don't even think about it. It's just the way we are. All right, it's part of our armor. Now, I've got a few scriptures to read, then we're going to be done. I'm not going to have the next teaching because I think I've gone long enough. All right, Ephesians 6:17. Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Yeah, we need to be speaking the Word. All right, Colossians 3:16-17. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let any evil communication come out of your mouth," right? We need to clean up our vocabulary as much as possible. Sometimes I know we still slip. But, all right, this is 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." The word of God's working. We just can't choke it out by saying things that we shouldn't be saying, right? All right, 1 Timothy 4:5. Right here, 4 and 5 says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." But there's another scripture also says, well, if you think it's going to hurt you, then you'd be best not to eat it, because you think. It's like the man that died in the freezer, thinking he was freezing to death. When they found him the next morning, he was dead, but the freezer wasn't plugged in. That's pretty strong. Yeah. All right, it's like the lady for 10 years, she kept telling Brother Hagin she just knew she had cancer. Go to the doctor every 6 months. Yeah, you don't have anything. He said she finally did get it, and she finally died. I'm going, no, she didn't get it. That's the problem. She didn't get it, did she? She might have heard him, but she didn't know what he was saying. All right, this is 2 Timothy 2:9. Paul's saying here, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." God's word's not bound. You can't bind it. It'll have power. You speak it, it'll have power. Okay, Hebrews 1. The first three verses. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Just a few more. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All right, James 1, 22 and 23. James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and forgetteth what manner man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. One more. This one, Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until the death. So, what are we going to do? We're not going to take a thought, are we? Not going to take any more thoughts saying, but we're just going to live in the now space and not get messed up with what the devil's trying to distract us with. Just keep moving forward, looking forward, saying what you want, decreeing what you want. Don't look back to see if it happened. Just keep on walking. Say what you want. All right.